And again, I welcome everybody to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room this morning. Wonderful to have you with us as always. And today's study is going to be study number 140. And I had no idea this was going to go this long, but it certainly has. But we're not going to rush it. We're going to take it as we get to it and try to digest what we can out of it as we move along. I think that's the problem with understanding God's word a lot of times nowadays, is that everybody wants some kind of drive-through version of the word. And it the more you study it, the more you'll see it just don't exist that way. You don't get the instant download from God of all things that you need to know when you become a believer. It just does. God's plan does not have it working that way, and so it doesn't work that way. But in any event, today's study number 140, and the date stamp for today is May the 17th, 2026. And our purpose for this entire long series, which is going to get evidently a lot longer, the purpose of this study series is to investigate the various ministries of the Apostle Paul in order to better understand his fundamental teachings through the various dispensations that he was involved in. And that leads us to the current dispensation that we're looking at, which is the kingdom dispensation, the offer of the kingdom during the Acts period, where Paul wrote letters back to the group of believers, the ecclesia, the church, if you want to call it that, in Corinth. He had already been to these people. He knew these people. He had spent quite a bit of time in Corinth and was writing these letters of correction back to them. And a lot of the things that Paul wrote, as we have discovered, were in answer to a letter that they had written to him, asking him a lot of different questions about a lot of different things that were going on within that assembly. And I believe today is no different as we get into our study today. So last week we kept on the course in 1 Corinthians by reviewing chapter 13, which I like to call the love chapter. And Paul's emphasis through that chapter on the foundational importance of love. Paul basically told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 that if you have all these gifts of the Spirit, you know, we talked about the gifts in chapter 12, and all these different diversities of gifts that go to various people. But the big point Paul made in 13 is you can have all these gifts in the world, and if you don't have the love to go with it one for another, that it's just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It's just a bunch of noise. It's nothing. And that's kind of a hard thing to take in and understand. But when you think about it, everything that we do has to be based in not only our love one for another, but our love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as the Spirit works through us, that should grow on a daily basis. That what the Spirit gives us and helps us realize is that through love, and even what Paul said to these Corinthians in that dispensation, bleeds over in our dispensation today. Look at the admonishments to having love one for another and edifying the body in our hope today in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Look at the love that's mentioned in those books, and you'll see that love is the important string that carries over from one dispensation to the other. So I really enjoyed being able to present 1 Corinthians 13 last week, though we didn't even get into the depths of it at all. It was kind of a surface study, but hopefully it was enough to get across the point that what Paul's saying is that with all these gifts, they're worthless without love. They're just sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. So for today's study, I want to keep moving forward in 1 Corinthians by rereading 1 Corinthians 13, let's reread verses 8 through 13 to once again set the stage and kind of get the context for what's going on. And then we'll pick up today with 1 Corinthians 14, which is extremely interesting, especially in light of some denominations that we have in the world around us today. I know we do here in the South, and I'm sure they're pretty widespread everywhere, maybe more so here in the South than in other areas, but we'll get into that a little bit. So read with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read 8 through 13 to get the verses 8 through 13 to get the context, and then we'll pick up with today's study at 14:1. Paul says, love never faileth in verse 8. He said, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail or vanish away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease or vanish away. Whether there be knowledge, it shall also vanish away. Paul says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We do not see the whole, he says. We only know a little, and we prophesy according to that little. He said in verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, and I believe the word perfect there, I might be wrong, but I believe it's, if you look in Appendix 125:1, I believe it's teleos, or the culmination. And I could be wrong. Check that word out. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Paul says we at that point will know the whole thing. We won't know in part anymore. And he says in 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And that's really easy to understand. It's really easy to connect. He said, but when I became a man, see, there's a difference in taking the milk and taking the meat. There always is in the scripture. The milk is meant for the children. The meat is for the strong men, the strong men and women, if you want to go so far as to put it that way. The meat is for the strong men and women of the word. He said, when I became a man, I put away all the childish things. And my mind always goes back to people that I know that are men that seem to never put away the childish things. They just go right on trying to be childish and do the childish things. He says in verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then shall I know even as also I am known, Paul says. And I think we discussed what that, the true meaning of that verse. Verse is a lot of what tradition says that verse really means. He says, and now in verse 13, abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? It's the love. The greatest is the love. And so that's the context for where we want to jump into this morning with chapter 14. Now, read with me chapter 14:1. Before we do that, I want you, if you have a companion Bible, I'm on page 1718 in the CB, which is right here where chapter 14 verse 1 is. And I want you to look at that. There's a breakdown of the structure of chapter 14, which is like 40 verses. And if you look at it, it says prophecy, the best gift, is the heading for the whole of those 40 verses that we're going to review starting this morning. 1 through 40 is prophecy better than tongues, or 1 through 20, I'm sorry. Verses 1 through 20 proves how prophecy is better than tongues, and verses 21 through 40 gives you the reasons for that and the cautions that go along with that. Now, why would there be a caution in speaking in tongues? We're speaking with tongues. We're going to get into that. I know all of you, like me, you've seen the video. I've seen videos and memes, a lot of them kind of funny, where folks that claim to be getting the Spirit, so to say, they peep, they mutter, they say forth things that make absolutely no sense to me. It sounds completely like gibberish. Almost as if they're in some kind of mindless trance, which I thoroughly believe that in some cases could definitely be true. We, around here, we call it the Church of God or the Pentecostal movement. And I'm not disparaging the people. What I'm disparaging is the lack of right division that would get somebody to the point to where they would put so much emphasis on this that it's almost like, well, this is what we're after. Like when you get to the point where you can dance around and speak in tongues and do all this mumbo jumbo, that you've somehow reached the pinnacle of where you need to be with your connection with God. And they take that very seriously. And again, I'm not here to disparage anybody, but you must stand. We have to stand for the truth of the scripture. And the truth is that tongues were given for a specific reason at a specific time to a specific group of people. And it had a goal in mind. And we may even go back to Acts 2 and look at that. I think that might be advantageous. But I wanted to make sure that when we go through chapter 14, Paul is not advocating for tongues. Even though at one point, one verse, he says, I would that you all spake with tongues. He said, but rather prophesy. I would rather you prophesy. Well, what is prophesying? You know, we see all these words in scripture. We come across these words and we see them and we're like, what's that really mean? What does prophesy really mean? If you get right down to it, what does faith really mean? All these things that Paul's talking about, faith, hope, charity, you know, what do they really mean? Because he'll put them in order for you. Well, if you don't know what they mean, then the order doesn't make any sense, right? You know, the things that we should cover. Now, I'm talking about what he was telling the, when I say we, I'm talking about what he was telling the Corinthians, as if I'm kind of putting myself within their dispensation here for a minute. When I say we, I don't mean things that we should covet, but I mean, you know, what Paul was telling them that they should covet. So before we even got started with chapter 14, I wanted to throw that out there. And I wanted to make sure that you saw that whole structural order of chapter 14, verses 1 through 40, prophecy being the best gift, and then verses 1 through 20 of that says prophecy is better than tongues. So as we begin with chapter 14, you got to get that mindset already within your brain that prophecy is better than tongues, because that's what it's all about as we go through this. With so much emphasis today by some so-called denominations putting all this emphasis on tongues, Paul, within the very chapter that they get the tongues from, tells them, you'd be a whole lot better off prophesying. Well, let's read verse 1. I'm in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's read verse 1. Paul says, after talking about the love, he says, follow after love, charity there, as it says in the King James, and desire spiritual gifts. And the gifts you'll see is italicized, which means that it's been added into the verse to help with the clarity. But spiritual there is pneumatikos, which means spiritual gifts. So Paul, it literally says, follow after love and desire or covet earnestly. Covet earnestly gifts that are spiritual. But rather, he says, now listen to this, but rather, see, he lays the tone out for this whole chapter in the very first verse. And you can't get around this, no matter what denomination you're in. The word of God is the word of God. And Paul says, but rather, see, follow after love, earnestly covet spiritual gifts. He's already talked a lot about them in the previous two chapters. He said, but rather in order that ye may prophesy. Well, what is prophesying? Well, there just so happens to be an appendix that covers what apostles, elders, and prophets are. So if you have a companion Bible, turn with me right quick to Appendix 189. I want to read you what it says about prophets. If you are a prophet, you prophesy. One who prophesies is a prophet. It's a kind of a loop. You can't get around it. That's what prophets do. They prophesy. Now, we may have a whole lot of definitions in our brains about what a prophet is, but I think one of the best ones is encapsulated here in the Companion Bible in Appendix 189, part number 3. This covers apostles, defines apostles, it defines elders, and it also defines prophets, what prophets are. And this is important, not only because prophets are talked about in 1 Corinthians in the previous dispensation, but guess where else prophets are mentioned? In the book of Ephesians. Did you know that? Did you know we can prophesy today? Well, how can that be? Well, Ronnie, you can't tell me anything about the future that's going to happen. Well, that's probably true. Let's read about prophets. So I'm in Appendix 189. That's on page 208 in the Companion Bible in the appendix, the appendices section. And it says prophets. And the writer of this lays this out pretty clearly. A prophet was one, listen, who spoke for God. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's one who always foretells the future. It says a prophet was one who spoke for God. See Appendix 49. And this applies to those of the New Testament as well as those of the Old. So this, what he's saying here about prophets applies to the entire scripture, not just Old Testament or New Testament, but the whole book. He goes on to say it did not necessarily mean that he, the prophet, foretold the future, though sometimes that was done, as in the case of Agabus. Now, we went through the book of Acts, and you remember Agabus coming to Paul and telling Paul that if you go to Jerusalem, he took his own tunic and he bound his wrist. He tied himself up. And he showed that to Paul. And he said, Paul, the Holy Spirit has told me that if you go to Jerusalem, this is how you're going to end up. You're going to be taken prisoner yet again. And Paul said, well, we got to go anyway, because that's where the Spirit is telling me to go. So Agabus revealed this to the Apostle Paul in Acts 11, 28, and Agabus prophesied again in 21:10. Agabus was one of those prophets who did foretell future events. And sure enough, just like Agabus said, it was going to come down. Guess what happened to Paul when he went to Jerusalem? You know the story. If you don't, go back to Acts 11, 12, 13, read it. It lays it out very clearly for you. Now, prophecy, it says, we go on in the appendix here. Prophecy was one of the gifts of the Spirit. And its chief design was to comfort, listen to this, the whole design of prophecy was to comfort, exhort, as in Acts 15:32, and testify from the scriptures for the edification of believers. As I sit here this morning testifying to you from the scriptures for your edification, does that make me a prophet? I believe it does. Lori's shaking her head. No, like I'm, you're. All the teachers that come on here week, day after day, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Sundays, all the teachers that we have come through the conferences, do you see them as prophets? Well, the scripture does. The prophet is one that speaks for God from his word. It can also be a teacher. I believe there's a kind of a fine line maybe between prophets and teachers if you get right down to it. So someone, according to this, that testifies from the scripture, that testifies from the scriptures for the edification of believers is a and that is what I really try to do, is testify from the scripture of the truth of God for the edification of believers. Ephesians talks a lot about we edifying one another in love through the scriptures, through the truth of the scriptures. It goes on to say, and I'm just throwing these things out for you to think about. Prophets are included in the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12:28. Well, lo and behold, we've already been through it. It was mentioned in there, wasn't it? And I thought this appendix was so good because it mentions 1 Corinthians 12 and it mentions 1 Corinthians 14. It says prophets are included in the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:11. What? You mean we have prophets nowadays? Prophets, teachers, pastors, really? And directions for the orderly exercise of their gifts are given in 1 Corinthians 14. Well, guess where we are today? We're in 1 Corinthians 14. Besides Acts 13:1, where it is impossible to distinguish between the five persons mentioned as prophets and teachers, two of them being called apostles also in the next chapter, it says Judas and Silas also are called prophets in Acts 15:32. So you read a lot about apostles and prophets and all these things in the book of Acts. It continually goes back and is mentioning the book of Acts. So I wanted to throw that out there for you this morning and read the companion Bible definition of what a prophet is. And maybe we as believers, maybe we should modify what our mental view of a prophet is. A prophet is one that speaks for God out of the scriptures. The prophet is not necessarily one that can come up and tell you what's going to happen to you next week. I don't believe that gift is even available for today. Prophesying today is prophesying in a different way, I believe, than prophesying was in the book of Acts. Just as there are no more tongues, there are no more healing through the agency of a man putting their hands on another man to heal him. Those went away. And I believe the tongues also went away for the use that God was using them for during the book of Acts. Now, you can agree with that or disagree with that. I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers, but I'm trying to bring the truth of God and get this prophesying thing to a point where I think we may have a little better understanding of what it really means here.
Well, I think the wider tradition has probably skewed what we think a prophet should be. And this is, I think,
no doubt. No doubt. And a lot of times man's brain wants to default to an understanding that gives the biggest ego burst. You know what I mean, Tim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of times they want to default to, it would be really cool to be able to do what Agabus did. Be able to just come up and tell somebody what's going to happen to them. Or it would be really cool to stand in a crowd of people and me just all of a sudden break into speaking Cantonese.
Right.
Or French.
Sure.
Or even the King's English, because I've been accused of, a lot of people went to Boston and they couldn't understand the word I was saying. Because the girl asked, she said, "Are you from Georgia?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Well, I'm from Georgia." "Wow, that's close enough, isn't it?" And she said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, yeah." She said, and she pulled the tablecloth up. We were having dinner after some CAD training, and the girl in Boston pulled the tablecloth up and she said, "Did you buy them shoes just to come up here?" And so, but the whole, and what I'm trying to say is this whole thing with taking these gifts is that we, and that's, I think what was happening within the Corinthian assembly is that they were taking these gifts and just making egomaniacs out of themselves because of the powers that they had. And that ain't what God intended at all. And boy, the Apostle Paul is going to straighten them out about these things as we go through this as well.
Hey, so Ronnie,
that, yeah.
I know you went off on just a slight bit of a tangent there, and I'd like to kind of extend that tangent branch out a little farther and read, read something here, if you don't mind. You know, regarding the prophet, because I came across this once before, and it was like, okay, are we, aren't we? You know, it's funny you should say that. It says, a teaching from Bible scripture typically classifies you as a teacher or preacher, as you said before, rather than prophet in the biblical sense. While both roles involve speaking God's truth, they are distinct functions with different focuses. Teachers have focuses on explaining and applying previously revealed truth, the written word or logos. They bring clarity through instruction and study. Prophets typically deliver immediate spontaneous revelation, the spoken word or rhema. They act as mouthpieces for what God is saying specifically to a person or group in the present moment.
Yeah.
And I see in the broad sense, as far as us being prophets, I would say that you could, you know, you could stretch it out in a broader sense, but it seems to me, at least in a more finite sense, that gives, you know, the two different roles that we present.
I believe that actually is a pretty good description of the differences between prophesying and teaching. I'd tend to agree with that, because anyone that just spontaneously can recall the scripture from their mind and apply it to a situation is almost speaking prophetically. In my definition, I think that's actually pretty close.
Well, be careful about saying that around Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah. That's enough for the Arizona tangent.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate the chiming in, and I'll say this about our studies, or at least my studies. Chiming in doesn't bother me at all, and you'll hear Tim do that a lot, because Tim is used to the group studies that we used to have here at the house, which were actually discussions. And I have no problem with a discussion from, you know, going on during my study. So anybody, like, you know, Tim interjects, Chico interjects, it's not going to hurt my feelings. As a matter of fact, I think it actually helps the study a lot of times.
Absolutely.
For people to interject and to throw something in there. You're not going to upset me or hurt my feelings or anything like that. This is not a lecture. This is something that I want to be edifying to you. And if another has something to say that can edify, then I certainly have no problem with that at all. So I'll say that before we go on.
Well, we get that through our educational system too, because the mentors in college and so on, you go sit down in an auditorium like thing somewhere, that mentor is in charge.
Yeah.
He's
the one doing all the speaking.
He's the one that wants to put out what he puts out without interruption from others. Well, sometimes that doesn't work well, because that person may not know or understand the beginning of the story, of the middle of the story,
and the end. If they get it, that's fine. But if they don't get it and they can't stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, let's talk about this a second, then.
Well, at the end of the study, it gives you something to read or something to look at or something to figure out.
Exactly.
And so, he hasn't given all to you, but he's given it like the Bible does to us, because from the beginning to the end, and you look at these appendices.
Yeah.
Well, it starts out with number one and goes up to 190 something. Well, that's the beginning, and it runs all the way to the end. Look at where we're at today.
Tells you what it knows, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we're way up to 189, and there's not many left.
Yeah.
So, but it covers up to where God gave it to us up to this point.
Amen.
And the rest of it is there, but we have to figure it out. Like the guy that's mentoring these things, yeah, said, okay, I'm going to give you this, but now you got to go this far.
And we certainly have to look at these words. See, when you get this, look at all the discussion that's come up just over prophecy.
Right.
Yeah. And if we don't know what these words mean, then we're not really getting anywhere. We're just spinning our wheels. Yeah. And so that's why I thought it worthwhile to stop for just a minute and take the time to look and see, what does this really mean?
Absolutely.
Well, Alan, go ahead.
So, like, when you talk to people that go to churches and stuff, like, I always thought, like, when I think of prophecy, I think of something that's seen God.
Yeah.
What is that not? Like, why do people say?
You think of prophecy as what, somebody?
Seeing.
Seeing God? What does that mean?
I don't know, like, having a vision or something. Is that not?
Well,
I don't know, that's what I've always been.
And see, there again, your understanding of being a prophet goes back to what we understand from prophets that have been mentioned, like Agabus in the book of Acts. He, the Holy Spirit gave him this vision of what was going to happen to the Apostle Paul. And he went and said, Paul, I've got this is what's going to happen to you. And Paul said, that I got to do it anyway. If so be it. We gotta trudge on. We gotta work our way through it. And so that's the vision of prophecy in a lot of people's head about what prophecy is. And that's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to get you to rethink, because this is what Paul admonishes the Corinthians to be able to do. We've been given apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers in this dispensation. We need to know what all these things mean. Those are the tools that we have at our disposal to dispense and to understand the word, along with the precious gift of rightly dividing. And so as we rightly divide it and go through here, that's what I want you to see. I want you to see what Paul was telling these Corinthians with regards to the gift of tongues that they were getting. Not in disparaging of anybody today, but as an admonition that there's a lot of what I believe to be misunderstanding and lack of right division with regard to not only the use of tongues, but the understanding of what a prophet is or what prophecy is. So,
well, the gift of prophets has been replaced today with the gift of teaching.
I think maybe they complement one another. As your definition laid out, Chico, I believe that somebody that maybe spontaneously gets this, you know, if we're discussing a subject and I see you guys going somewhere or somebody else sees me going somewhere that they've already been and they can speak up and divulge a little truth about that, from what they understand, I believe that's a very good example, like your definition rolled out a while ago. I think it's a pretty good definition of prophesying as opposed to teaching. Now, this is certainly one of those things that we all need to dig in and study it out for ourselves and come to your own understanding of what the difference is in these terms. And the best way to do that is to look like the appendix was presenting it. Look and see how it occurs in Scripture, because Scripture must be our guide for interpreting and understanding all these things as we go through. So,
Ron, is it possible that somebody could they can bring up a subject like you're talking about, they not know that they're a prophet, but because of what they brought up, and it addresses an individual or maybe a group of individuals' interests unbeknownst to that individual that brought it up.
I think that's In a lot of ways, Tim, I think that's workings of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That person
can end up being a prophet and not even know it.
It could be just, even in just the words that he's saying, if it
ends up happened to that
person, I believe.
It happened to address that individual's special need or whatever. Yeah.
And I believe that's why Paul is pushing prophecy way more than this tongues thing. Because Paul knew, I believe within his own heart, I believe he knew that, because he said it, tongues will cease. Tongues will cease. Paul said, as for tongues, they will cease. And it says that in 1 Corinthians 13. We've already been through that. Remember the verse? As for tongues, they will cease. And knowledge, it will vanish. I read it in the context, in info before we began.
Well, while we're on the subject there, if you look at the appendix 190.
Yeah.
And look at the bottom of the first thing, there's a word that's not used very much, but it is the word thereupon. It says, is an attendant who performs service voluntarily for the free man or slave. Service. And we're talking here about a servant or one who serves. And if you serve God, you're slaves to the work.
Should be, yeah.
Should be.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that completely.
Okay. Well, if you can present it in a way.
That's edifying.
It's really edifying because I had the opportunity to do that a day or two ago at the bank. Went in the bank. We had one teller in my little branch bank. One person. We talked a little bit and I had a thimble I was going to give to my great granddaughter.
For her birthday yesterday.
Birthday gift. And I told her to keep it because one day it might be really important because people don't make quilts anymore. It's a quilting thimble.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her about this and I said, I'm giving it to my great grandchildren. And she said, and that's the nicest thing I've heard of recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, we had a guy come to our church one time and I said, it wasn't long there. And he had a watch and a lot of times I said, he'd watch and he said, now this doesn't mean very much. But he also had a thimble. And he said, okay, I got a thimble here and said, but the thimble represents maybe a dump truck that I've got out there somewhere that's got 20 tons in it. But he said, the word is like that. He said, I'm going to give you a thimbleful today. And that's all you might be able to understand at that point. And her eyes just lit up.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard that. And I said,
it's probably a lot of stuff she may have never eaten before. Yeah.
I said, but you know, if you live long enough, you'll come up with these things that, or other people can come up with them that give you the understanding and maybe the understanding that we're here to listen to what we're hearing and take it and give it to other people. And I told her about the three men in a tree.
So how long was the line behind you to get to the back?
Oh, there. Simply because the Holy Spirit gave me that.
Amen. Yeah. And I believe that's prophesying. When you get the opportunity and you use what you know from the scripture to bring some edification to somebody, I think.
She said, when I turned around and walked away, she said, you have made my day.
You probably did.
That's something.
You would be amazed at the number of people who probably been to church all their life and never heard a whole lot of truth. I mean, other than the basic truth. They've never got out of the bowl of milk. They're always served milk. They've never been given any meat to chew on once.
But I don't know where she went to church, but she knew truth when she heard it. She knew the truth. But that I went out of there just
feeling it's a blessing.
I was walking.
Yeah.
Right.
It is a blessing, and that's exactly what it's all about.
Yeah, the good Lord used him.
I'm about out of time here, and we didn't get anywhere on but we went where this wanted us to go. That's what I wanted out of this lesson.
And there'll be another time.
Yeah, and so for today, verse 1, follow after love and earnestly covet spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And I think several of you this morning, in my opinion, have prophesied. Whether you know it or not, I think you are a prophet.
I think that's the very point.
Let's read verse 2 just as a kind of a teaser for next week. He says, for he that speaketh, I'm going to read it in the English and then we're going to fix it because it's in pretty bad shape in the English. He said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and note that in your Bible, and especially with the companion Bible, if it's italicized, it was added by the translators. So for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and unknown there is italicized. So it was added. Speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Full stop, as Dad says there. For no man understandeth him, howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh mysterions. He speaketh mysteries. Oh, well, that's a good verse to chew on. So I'll leave you with that one to chew on for next week and something to think about as we go through and try to understand exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. But I think when we get down to verses 3, 4, and 5, Paul is definitely going to make it very clear to us that you can covet the gifts. You can covet the gift of tongues, because evidently there were a lot of these Corinthians that were coveting speaking in tongues. And I believe a lot of them, just as it's done today, were misusing this gift kind of as a parlor trick, maybe to amaze and astound their friends. I don't know. Or to somehow pad their own ego or something. Because Paul has 40 verses of admonition concerning this subject to this group here in Corinth. And it was for their correction. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. This was correction, instruction in righteousness, all these things, but Corinthians was for correction, and Paul's certainly exercising that here in 1 Corinthians 14. So we'll stop there at verse 1 for today, but probably one of the more blessed, one of the biggest blessings I've had in a while in doing this. So bow with me and we'll close and then we'll get ready for study number 2 today. Father, again, thank you. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for these things that make our minds open. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches. Father, thank you so much for the gift of rightly dividing the word, Father, so that we can look and see and, Father, glean the words that the Holy Spirit has levied out for us, Father, that we can understand exactly what you're talking about, who you're talking to, and understand the words of the Apostle Paul that were written so long ago. Thank you for the blessings that are ours in this dispensation today. Thank you for all those that have come this way for this study. And we pray that you would continue to bless all those under the hearing of my voice. And Father, all those that desire a touch from you, be with all those, Father, according to your will and purpose that are in our prayer list. And Father, we pray for them out of our love, as 1 Corinthians 13 brings forth, out of our love for them. And Father, we pray that you would bless us and Father, bless our upcoming conference. Edify now, even now, Father, the teachers that will be lined up to teach for the conference. give them that, that you would have those that will be present to hear and to understand. Be with us. Be with our ministry. Father, lead, God bless and keep us, that we do all things according to your will and not our will. For it's in Christ's name today we do humbly pray. Amen.